Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We are in the height of the Christmas season. It's certainly a joyous time. And especially for us as Christians, we really celebrate the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how it says, the one who would save us from our sins. What an amazing thought. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's a certain aspect that we see here in our text tonight that I want to highlight about Christ's coming. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And then there's a phrase I want to emphasize and will be really the focus of our message here tonight. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Certainly a very fitting passage for this time, the time of year that we are in, the birth of Christ. And this passage is one of the greatest passages in the Bible on that subject. I'd like to focus our attention tonight on Christ, the selfless servant. The selfless servant. And the whole context of this passage has to do with this matter of selflessness, of humility. And Christ is a perfect example that we ought to follow and that the Apostle Paul is dealing with. This revealing passage on the miraculous working of God becoming man and stooping down to earth comes in a broader context of the Apostle Paul admonishing the believers in Philippi of two important qualities vital to the life of a church and amongst believers. And that's not my focus tonight, but it's laying a foundation for where we're going. These two qualities that are pointed out in verses really 1 through 4 lead into verses 5 and following. But if you look with me at verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. The word I'm going to, that I'm going to use there is the word unity. That ye be united or like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Like-mindedness. Paul here is calling for this unity amongst the believers. In fact, he's saying this would fill my joy if there's unity amongst the believers. If there's unity amongst you, that's going to fulfill my joy. Having the same mind, the same love. You know, unity comes when a church has the same mind, the same love. When we're all going that same direction, we have the same focus. And our church, if we're going to be united, if we're going to have like-mindedness, we're going to have that same mind. We're going to have the same focus and drive, an undeniable commitment and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's going to be our consuming passion. And Paul is urging the Philippian believers to be united, to be like-minded, not to be everyone doing their own different thing and all these fractions. No, united, having the same mind, the same love. I wonder tonight, do we have the same love that is consuming our lives? What is it that we love that is consuming our love? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it Him, His Word that consumes us? Are we united with the same kind of love in mind? But then he goes on in verses 3 and 4. Another vital role aspect to a church being healthy is humility. And he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And here's the idea of humility. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. I love that picture, lowliness of mind. It almost gives you a mental picture of what the Apostle Paul is going after. Not pride and arrogancy and lifted up in our minds, but a lowliness of mind. Not consumed with ourself and personal interests, but consumed with the interests of those around us. Certainly, the unity and humility are essential to a church and to believers. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here in verses 3 and 4. The idea of strife or vainglory, let nothing be done through strife, is that selfish ambition, the ambition which has no conception of service, but aimed at profit and power. Paul is saying, let nothing be done in that mindset. Let nothing be done that way. We will not be able to serve and have the humility that's needed if there is strife or that self-desire within us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Now, this aspect of humility that Paul has just described and urged the church at Philippi with leads into verses 5 and following. And that's the foundation. And he's illustrating this humility through the life of Jesus Christ. And I want us here this evening, as we focus on Christ, the selfless servant, to notice three truths that I trust will be an encouragement and a help for us, and that our lives would pattern the Lord Jesus Christ, that our lives would exhibit these qualities in it that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, and we see in verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The work that Christ came to do was that of serving. He was a selfless servant. And Christ, the selfless servant, here displays an act of humility. Paul was talking about humility. Now he's illustrating it through the life of Jesus Christ. And this work of Christ's condescension, of him leaving heaven's glory and coming to the earth, illustrates humility. It displayed an act of humility. Think about that. God becoming man. The God of heaven, the God of the universe, lowering himself, humbling himself, and becoming a man. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The fact that he would identify with us, the fact that he would stoop so low. The first song in the prelude tonight was Out of the Ivory Palaces, and it made me connect with this here. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. To think that he would leave heaven and come to earth. He would leave the glories to come to this sin-cursed world. To come and die for men that hated him, that killed him, that crucified him. What an example of humility. And in verse 7, I love how it says, and took upon him the form of a servant. In other words, he willfully made this decision. to be a man, to become man. It was a choice that he made to lower himself. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as we think about this time of the year, Christmas season, let's not lose this important truth of why he came to serve, to be a servant, to die for man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Wow. He made that choice to lower himself, to leave that the riches of heaven and come to this earth. It says he made himself of no reputation. He made that choice to lower himself. To be a servant requires humility, and here Christ exhibits that. Our life, like the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to be here for that purpose as well, to serve. To selflessly serve others. To selflessly serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And that requires humility. You know, pride and arrogancy is not going to stoop down and serve and humble themselves to serve and meet the needs of others. This is a quality that should be evident in every Christian's life. An attitude of humility that we see here displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Christ, the selfless servant, displayed an act of humility. But it goes on, and we see here that he also displayed a life of service. He humbled himself to serve. And as Christians, as I said a moment ago, this ought to be our life. This is what we ought to be here for. To minister, to serve. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. I love this verse. It really puts it all into context. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Christ came as a servant to serve you and me. He put our needs in front of his own. He was a servant. He humbled himself to serve. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister," and that's really the word to serve, "and to give his life a ransom for many." Wow, he came to serve us, to selflessly serve you and I. This aspect of serving, being a servant, was what his life was consumed with. When you stop and take a look at the life of Jesus Christ, everything about him was serving. You read through the Gospels. He would go into different cities, and what was he doing? Serving, meeting the needs of people, ministering to them. He was concerned about their physical needs. He was concerned about their sickness. He was concerned about their spiritual needs. He was concerned and ready to meet their needs, ready to serve these people. That was what his life was consumed with. You know, he was willing to take time for people. Is that our life? Are we so busy with life we can't take time to help someone, to meet the needs of someone else? The Lord Jesus Christ, he took time. He was tired many times. He'd been up all day serving and doing things, but he was still willing to go even further and continue to help people. We don't have time here to look at all these different examples, but for the most part, many of us are probably very familiar with his life. He often went out of his way to serve. I think right now of the example of the man that was lame and couldn't walk, and he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he just kept crying out more and more for Jesus to come and to heal him. And everybody was trying to quiet him, and he just kept out crying out the more, and Jesus heard him. And he went out of his way to heal that man, to meet his need. Go back to our text in Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. verses 3 and 4 talk about this idea of our esteeming others better than ourselves. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And when we are serving, that's what we're doing. We're placing the needs of others before us. We're placing their needs and they're putting our interests in what concerns them and what their interests are. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. In verse 3, "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He saw us in our need. He saw us in our sinful condition. And he put our needs before his comfort and before him. And that's why he was willing to leave the glories of heaven. I tell you tonight, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a shame to reject Jesus Christ in light of what he has done for us. This great extent that he went to serve and to give his life for us. Now, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul gives really a command. And this is the third thing I want us to see. Christ, the selfless servant, gives us an example to follow. He gives us an example to follow, and Paul realizes that. And he says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you. This mind of humility, this mind of serving and giving of our lives to serve. He says, "Let this mind be in you." Have this same mind. He's urging the believers to have this same mind of selfless service, of selfless service, of humility. And as Christians here today, that ought to be our mindset. To have that same mind. And that's what Paul is urging. Let this mind be in you. For you and me here tonight, this ought to be the mind, or what the way that we are thinking of serving, of selfless service. You know, we can do that in many different ways. You know, we ought to be serving God's people. And that's what we do here in the local church, is serving. It's a body, it's a family, that we are serving one another. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and by serving others. And we're serving the lost around us. We're giving our lives. I wonder tonight, how much of a servant are you? That selfless servant that we see Jesus Christ displaying for us here tonight. Does that depict our life? Does that depict who you are? Does your life as a Christian portray this attitude of humility? This attitude of being a selfless servant? That ought to characterize our lives. And as we are in this Christmas season and we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he come? To seek and to save that which is lost. To serve this lost world. And tonight my challenge is really for Christians here to see the picture that and the example that Christ set for us and follow in his footsteps. And like Paul says, let this mind be in you, this mind of humility, this mind of selflessness. You know what? We shouldn't be so filled with pride and arrogancy that we can't go out of the way to meet a need for somebody. That we can't endeavor to do what we can to serve our and give of ourselves for others. And that ought to be such a exhibited thing in our church of serving and giving of ourselves for others. And tonight, I think our prayer ought to be that the Lord would make us a servant of his. That we would be ready and willing to do whatever he calls us to do, emptied of self and pride and ready to serve. You know, are you a servant tonight? Are you filled with humility? You know, if you're not, like he says in verse 3, things will be done in strife or vain glory. They're going to be done in pride and arrogancy. But rather, it needs to be lowliness of mind, this humility that portrays and is exhibited in our lives. So tonight, think of the Lord Jesus Christ and of this, in this season, think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he willfully came to serve. He gave himself to serve. What amazing, amazing truth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Stop and dwell on those verses and what he has done for us. It truly is a remarkable thing. But tonight, does your life as a Christian portray a life of humility? There are many other verses in the Word of God that talk about humility and its counterpart, pride. And God hates pride. He hates arrogancy. And he delights in humility and this selfless serving. His life, in the ministry of his life, was such an example for us to follow. And I trust it'll be a challenge for us here tonight as God's people to let this mind be in us. That our mind, our life would be filled with that pattern of humility and of service one to another and to the lost around us. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, we are so, there's so many layers of pride that we need to have removed. And Lord, I pray that we would be challenged about through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he humbled himself. He left the glories of heaven. He came and died on this earth for sinful man. Lord, may we follow his example of selfless service. May as Christians, the lost world around us see that portrayed in our lives. Lord, we need your help. We need your enablement. And I pray that our church would exhibit this in and through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.